ॐ नमः प्रणवार्थाय शुद्धज्ञानैकमूर्तये निर्मलाय प्रशान्ताय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः। निरञ्जनं नित्यमनन्तरूपं भक्तानुकम्पाद्धृतविग्रहं वै ईशावतारं परमेशमीड्यं तं रामकृष्णं शिरसा नमामि। यथाग्नेर्दाहिका शक्ति रामकृष्णे स्थिता हिया सर्वविद्यास्वरूपान्तां सारदां प्रणमाम्यहं। प्रपन्नपारिजाताय स्तोत्रवेत्रैकपाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुगे नमः। सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम्। कामक्रोधवियुक्तानां यतीनां यतचेतसाम् अभितो ब्रह्मनिर्वाणं वर्तते विदितात्मनाम्। इन दिस श्लोक भगवान मेंशन्स द वेरियस स्टेजेस ऑफ स्पिरिचुअल लाइफ। कामक्रोध वियुक्ति ही, बीइंग फ्री फ्रॉम काम एंड क्रोधा, strong likes and dislikes are the first step in spiritual life. Kama and krodha is due to a basic wrong notion that I am a limited entity lacking so many things and I have to fulfill myself by acquiring so many things. This is one wrong notion. Another wrong notion is the world contains certain things which will fulfill me. World is either sukai hetuhu, source of happiness, or dukkha hetuhu, according to this notion. But in reality, we find not a single thing in the creation we can brand it as sukai hetu or dukkha hetu. Whatever is sukai hetu you consider becomes the dukkha hetu for others. And for your own life, at one particular moment, whatever sukha hetu you consider becomes dukkha hetu for yourself. When you are a child, you consider ice cream as sukha hetu. As even you grow, when tonsils you get or throat infection you get, the very same ice cream becomes dukkha hetu. So the reality is, world is neither sukha hetu. Hetu means what? Source. World is neither the source of happiness nor the source of unhappiness. Because I think that it is source of happiness, I desire for certain things, it is called kamaha. When I don't get the desired objects, I get anger, it is called krodaha. So I have a big wish list. These are the things to be gained in my life. These are the things I should never get it. Both are there in that wish list. But Bhagavan has his own ways to teach you. So Shastra says, get away from these strong likes and dislikes. Allow the things to happen to you, teach your children how to fail in life. Never ask your children to get success all the time. They should be allowed to taste what is the meaning of failure. If you don't allow them to have failures in life in childhood, they will think that life is equal to success. Life is never is equal to success. And if they don't get marks in 10th standard examination, they will go for suicide, because that is the first time they taste failure. So allow the children to see the both sides of the life, or allow your own mind to see the things as it is. There is the question of allowing the children to learn all these great facts when our own mind doesn't learn these things. Therefore Bhagavan says kama krodha viyukti, freedom from strong likes and dislikes becomes the first step in gaining the shanti. Then second one is yata chetasa, self control. Without self control, without having control on the vehicle which we are traveling, our journey cannot be safe. Imagine a car which doesn't obey you. You want that car to turn right side, it goes on left side. You imagine that wheels which doesn't obey you, imagine what will be the condition of the driver or the person who travels in that. So our sense organs and mind are the chakra, they call it, instruments in leading this life called life journey, and body is by which we travel. So keep your body mind complex under your control, not allowing the mind to have its own whims and fancies in spite of coming through so many advertisements. Advertisements will try to provoke you, but you should know how to avoid these provoking situations. It is called yata chetasam. Third one is yati nam. Third stage is you become a sannyasi. You become a sannyasi means go to Rishikesh and get one garva cloth, orange color robe, and do tapas. That is not the meaning of sannyasa in Gita. Gita sannyasa is always what? Vairagyam, love towards the Lord, love for higher things of life. So when you love certain higher things, naturally you will give up all balloons and toys. Giving up also, what is the meaning? You will not have value for them. You may use them, but you will not have value for them. Imagine a grandfather who is sitting in armchair. Suppose grandchildren bring some toys or balloons. The grandfather will not tell, no, I have renounced these things 50 age itself. So I cannot even see that. I cannot play with you. Like that, grandfather will not tell. He also may choose to play with the children, but still, grandfather doesn't have real grandfather. Nowadays, grandfathers have become children now. All grandfathers now have video games. Go in train travel, you will find teeth are not there and bald head, cannot read also, and he is very much busy with what? Video game. I am talking about matured grandfather. So matured grandfather will not have hatred towards toys and balloons or small things of life. At the same time, he will not be hooked by those things. That is the meaning of a sannyasi. A sannyasi represents always vairagyam. Vairagyam means love for higher things in life, love for the Lord, love for the scriptures, love for learning higher facts of life. For that purpose, he is ready to give up when situation demands those things. Up to that time, he may be using, as an householder, you cannot avoid saving money in your bank balance, or you cannot avoid taking care of your family members, or you cannot avoid even purchasing flats and plots. You purchase thousands of acres, you purchase, but don't consider that it belongs to you. It is for good purpose. Bhagavan has given to you for using for good purpose to help others. With this idea is there, means even a grihastha is as good as sannyasi, because his mind is available in a quality way for the scriptural study. Scriptural study is the one criterion to differentiate a sadhu life or a worldly life. Very, very important message is whether your mind is available for vichara. Please understand, whether your mind is available for Vedanta vichara is the one criterion to be called yourself as a spiritual seeker. There is no other possibility of gaining the Lord, gaining moksha, other than this Vedanta vichara. Shastra repeatedly says in so many places, na avedavite brihantam veda. One who doesn't know the scripture cannot know the Lord. And you may ask, there are so many sadhus who never learned scriptures. So Shastra asks, how you know they did not learn? You tell. No, they did not go to any Gurukula. Gurukula is not the only place to learn scriptures. Understood? So Sri Ramakrishna's life, we find he has not read any book. Of course, he has read some Gita or some Adhyatma Ramayana and other thing. Purposely he has not read. But when you read his words carefully in between the lines, he will see that he has heard so many things from the sadhus. If you take Sri Ramakrishna as a human being who has struggled for knowledge, this is the explanation. And if you take him as avatara, certainly avatara need not study the scripture. That we accept. Avatara, Bhagavan Ishvara, need not study the scripture. Why he need not study the scripture? Because he know already what is scripture. And he is the provider of the scripture. So anyway, whether you are avatara or ordinary person, you cannot avoid scripture study. Bhagavan need not study scripture because he know. And ordinary people also cannot avoid scripture, because other than studying the scripture means purchasing one book and studying yourself, not studying the scripture. Studying the scripture means allowing yourself to go through the scriptural teachings under the guidance of a competent teacher. mind, you can see, if you want to sleep immediately, you put some Vedantic lecture. Immediately sleep will come. You can verify, really. There are so many Vedantic lectures available in online. Our ashrama itself publishes. Then Gita class is published or Bhagavatam is published. Just download and keep 4 or 5 tracks with you. Whenever you find that your mind is restless, you want to sleep, put that. Within 10 minutes you'll get sleep. So getting a quality mind for study of the scripture is the criterion for vairagyam. Vairagyam is assessed, is measured by how much interest, how much intensity you have towards knowing these facts. What is that fact? The fact is, aitadatmyam idam sarvam tat satyam sa atma tattvamasi shvedaketo. Idam brahma idam kshatram ime loka ime deva imani bhutani idagam sarvam yadayam atma. That is the fact. You don't lack anything, you are everything. Whatever you are searching for, fortunately happened to be your own real nature. Find out and own up those things and be happy. That is the teaching. So, yatitva, that is sannyasa, is the third stage. Then fourth stage is viditatmanam. By those who have known the real nature of the self, attainment of God can never be an incident in our life. God can never be attained. Shastra repeatedly says, another 200 hours also I will tell this. Same, because that is a fact. Attainment of God cannot be incident, even though it is shown as incident in cinemas. Okay. In cinema, the person, how he will show, suppose he wanted to show that so and so Mahatma attained God. How he will show? He cannot show he attained knowledge, because how to attain knowledge, you tell. There will not be any background music. Suppose you want to know the train timing. So if you get a proper train timing, it's called attaining the knowledge of train timing. So you get train timing knowledge. How people will understand? Is there any background music? Or will there be any halo behind your head? Or will you see everything same? There is nothing called attaining the Lord. Attaining the Lord means attaining the knowledge about myself. Knowledge has to be attained, because I don't have now knowledge, therefore I should struggle to attain the knowledge. Therefore, vidita atmanam, viditaha jnataha atma yesham te viditatmaha tesham viditatmanam jnaninam samyak darshinam. By those who have known the real nature of the self, abhitaha brahman nirvanam vartate. Brahman nirvanam is a word we explained in the last class, that is shantihi, attaining the Lord. How you attain the Lord? By knowledge. How you attain the space? By knowing that it need not be attained. You are already in that space. How you attain the space? By knowing that you need not attain that space, because space is sarvagata vastu, all pervasive entity. So by knowing that, you attain that. How you attain the garland on your neck? How you attain? By knowing that it is already with you in your neck. So that is the idea. Bhagavan continues. Sparshan kritva bahir bahya chakshuschaivantare bravo prana panau samau kritva nasa bhyantar charinau yetendriyamano buddhihi munir moksha parayanaha vigate cha bhaya krodaha yasada mukta evasaha. Suddenly, there is a change in topic. So far, Bhagavan was talking about various stages of gaining this knowledge. Now, he is going to talk about meditation as a means of assimilating the knowledge which was gained through Vedanta Vichara. The knowledge received through Vedanta Shravanam has to be assimilated. It has to be made as first-hand knowledge. What is the difference between first-hand knowledge and second-hand knowledge? Say, for example, you take a book which talks about Kailas Manasarovar. Okay? And you read entire book and you come across something about Kailas Manasarovar. Is it first-hand knowledge or second-hand knowledge? Second-hand knowledge. because no book can entirely talk about Kailas Manasarovar. No author can talk about Kailas Manasarovar in its fullness. At the same time, you get some vague idea about that, how much temperature is there, what are all the preparations you have to take care of when you want to go there like that. But still, your knowledge about Kailas Manasarovar is incomplete. When you go there, by your pratyaksha, you come to know that what Kailas Manasarovar. Understand? So that is called first-hand knowledge. In the case of spiritual knowledge, the knowledge which we get in Sravanam, for many people, it is second-hand knowledge. There is a Bhagavan, and that Bhagavan is Brahman. Let it be. Let the Bhagavan be Brahman. Brahman means what? All-pervasive entity. Let the Bhagavan be all-pervasive entity. What is there for me? So and so is rich man. He is Sarva-Shaktiman. He is all-knowledgeable person. He can do anything. And he protects. Let it be. So it is second-hand knowledge. Then when Shastra says, hey, that Bhagavan happened to be your own real self, then only question comes, how can it be? So you want to make it as your first-hand knowledge. That is called Manana or Nididhyasana. In this context, Bhagavan talks about Nididhyasanam, that is Vedantic meditation for the sake of assimilating the knowledge received through Vedanta Shravana. Because the knowledge is very, very shocking or wonderful knowledge. What is that knowledge you get in Vedanta Shravanam? You are everything. So far I have heard, I am donkey, I am monkey, I am idiot, I am body, I am male or female, like that. This much only knowledge I had. Suddenly Shastra comes and says, you are everything. So how can I accept that? And our daily life is governed by the idea in which we are very much convinced of. What is the idea we are very much convinced of? That I am small individual in the huge creation trying to protect myself by hook or crook. That is the idea about myself. I have to defend my security. I have to defend myself. What is the best way of defending oneself is offending others. So I will try to protect myself. So I am in a position to be protected is my understanding about myself. When Shastra says I am the protector, I am the protector of the entire universe. So it becomes a great shock. So our day-to-day life is governed by emotions, not by thinking mind. Emotions only govern day-to-day life. So this new knowledge should become emotional one. Emotional means what? It should percolate in your emotional personality also. And Vedantic meditation helps you to assimilate this knowledge. About this Nididhyasana, Vedantic meditation, next whole chapter we are going to talk. So here Bhagavan says, Yaha nasa bhyantara charinau pranapanau samau krutva. This anvaya comes in two shlokas. Okay, you have to take both these shlokas, 27 and 28, both these shlokas. In the first shloka, second line is there, you see. Yaha pranapanau samau krutva nasa bhyantara charinau. The seeker, one who sits in meditation and keeps his breathing process as smooth as possible and as an even one. Because mind is very closely connected to breathing process. So, by regulating breathing, we can regulate our mind. Because mind and breathing process are closely interconnected. So, in order to meditate with poise and calmness, you have to first concentrate on the breathing process. That's what talked about in this second line of the 27th shloka. Then 28th shloka, first word comes, you see, Yathendriya mano buddhi hi san. One who has controlled over all the sense organs, mind and intellect. Control of sense organs is what? Withdrawing all the sense organs. Withdrawing all the sense organs is what? You make your eyes to go inside, or ears to go inside, or what? You remove your mind from those sense organs. So you close your eyes, withdrawing all the sense organs through mental thought process. And withdrawing mind means what? Withdrawing mind from other types of thought process. And withdrawing buddhi means trying to fix the mind in the Vedantic teaching which you got in the Shravana period. స్పర్శాన్ కృత్వా బహిర్బాహ్యాన్, కీపింగ్ ఎక్స్టర్నల్ వరల్డ్ ఎక్స్టర్నలీ. ఇట్స్ ఎ వెరీ బ్యూటిఫుల్ ఎక్స్ప్రెషన్. భగవాన్ సేస్ బిఫోర్ మెడిటేషన్ యూ హ్యావ్ టు సిట్ ఇన్ ఏ ప్లేస్ విత్ విత్డ్రాన్ మైండ్ అండ్ సెన్స్ ఆర్గన్స్ అండ్ కీపింగ్ యువర్ బ్రీతింగ్ ప్రాసెస్ యాజ్ స్మూత్ అండ్ ఈవెన్. దెన్ యూ హ్యావ్ టు కీప్ ది ఎక్స్టర్నల్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్స్ ఇన్ ది ఎక్స్టర్నల్ వరల్డ్. నౌ ద క్వశ్చన్ కమ్స్, ఎక్స్టర్నల్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్స్ ఇన్ ది ఎక్స్టర్నల్ వరల్డ్ ఆర్ ఎక్స్టర్నల్ ఆల్రెడీ? ఎక్స్టర్నల్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్స్ ఇన్ ది ఎక్స్టర్నల్ వరల్డ్ ఆర్ ఆల్రెడీ ఎక్స్టర్నల్, దట్ ఈస్ వై ఇట్ ఈస్ కాల్డ్ ఎక్స్టర్నల్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్. దెన్ వై షుడ్ ఐ కీప్ దెమ్ ఎక్స్టర్నల్ యాగి? ఇట్స్ ఎ బ్యూటిఫుల్ ఐడియా ఎక్స్ప్రెస్డ్ హియర్. శాస్త్ర సేస్ దో ఎవ్రీ ఆబ్జెక్ట్ ఇన్ ది ఎక్స్టర్నల్ వరల్డ్ ఈజ్ ఇన్ ఎక్స్టర్నల్ వరల్డ్ ఓన్లీ, స్టిల్ యూ ట్రై టు టేక్ ఇన్సైడ్ యూ, స్టిల్ యూ వాంట్ టు కీప్ సమ్ ఆఫ్ దెమ్ విత్ ఇన్ యూ. యూ క్యారీ లాట్స్ ఆఫ్ పీపుల్ అండ్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్స్ ఇన్ యువర్ మైండ్ వితౌట్ టికెట్. అవర్ ఆచార్య స్వామి చూసే వితౌట్ టికెట్ lots of people travel with you wherever you go with all their luggages, not only people you carry, their luggages also you carry. So wherever, even if you go to Badrinath, Kedarnath, Amarnath, still people will come to you in the form of thoughts. Not entire world you carry, few things only you carry, not all the population you keep inside your mind, few people only you keep in your mind. That is your father, mother, son, daughter, husband, wife. Then few things, your house and that too, one small gully, one 3 BHK or 2 BHK, and it's the most insignificant part in the creation, that only you keep in your mind. What will happen? In my absence, what will happen? Whether the thief will come or security join with the robbers, what will happen? So you keep your simple small house in your mind and financial crisis, unfinished duties, so many small, small things you keep in your mind. Due to special attachment, you have internalized lot of people and their behaviors. You have lots of expectations, concern, anger, hatred, so many things. These are the load, luggage we call, Vedanta, we call it luggage. You carry your luggage. Nobody can carry your luggage. One has to carry his own luggage in the form of what? Not external luggage. But actually it is external luggage, you take it as internal one because of attachment. So your inner space is occupied by all of them. It is a jam-packed compartment. One stands on the another toe like that. It is a noisy compartment, you carry all of them. And with this noisy mind, if you sit for meditation, what will happen? Two things will happen. Within 5 minutes you will go for sleep, or within 5 minutes you get up and go away. Meditation will not happen. Within 5 minutes either you sleep or you will get up and go away. Therefore, before going for actual meditation, Bhagavan says you have to unload all of them temporarily. Ella irungappa, I will come and take afterwards. It is my luggage only. Now appointment is for only Bhagavan, not for grandchildren, not for daughter's marriage, not for spouse, not for children, not for anyone. So I will take again. But for this half an hour or 40 minutes or 1 hour, it is for only Bhagavan, only for Vedantic teaching. This unloading is called keeping the external world externally. This unloading is called control of your mind. What is the sign whether you have control or mind controls you? When you want to unload, the mind should unload. If it says, no, 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 I cannot get away from you, that means what? You are the slave of the mind. So no appointment for anyone other than the Lord. That is the third step in meditation. What is the first step? Sitting with poise and calmness by controlling our breath. Second is controlling our sense organs and mind. Third one is unloading all the things which is already in our mind. Then vigata iccha bhayakrodaha bhavati. The person becomes free from negative thoughts like desire, fear and anger. Because all these three negative thoughts are disturbance for actual meditation. You just analyze your thought process. All the thought process will have any of these three things. Any one of the three things will be there. Either it is going to have fear or desire or anger. About the future, fear, fear, fear. About the past, anger, anger, anger. About the present, desire. So, temporarily become a sannyasi. Our Acharya Swamiji used to say, temporarily become a sannyasi. Say to your mind that you have taken 1 hour sannyasa, wherein Bhagavan alone is the entire thing for you. So, when the mind is free from all unwanted thoughts, the seeker should concentrate where? Bhagavan says, Chakshuhu antare brumo. Chakshuhu antare bruvoho means between the eyebrows. Ajna chakram is mentioned. Two things are there. Tip of the nose is there, beginning of the nose is there. Both are between the eyebrows only. So some say that you concentrate on the tip of the nose. Some say you concentrate on the ajna, that is where we put tilaka. That place you concentrate. But it is not good either place. Don't concentrate either place. You can concentrate on hridaya, heart. Why Ajna Chakram Bhagavan here mentions is, it is for really serious spiritual seekers. If you start concentrating on Ajna Chakram, you will get headache. That's a problem. You will get headache. So, you concentrate in your heart. When the person lives in this way, Munihi Moksha Parayanaha Bhave, that seeker for whom Moksha is the ultimate goal is called Munihi. So he should sit in meditation and try to meditate on Vedantic revelations, try to assimilate the knowledge by thinking about the real nature of the Lord, real nature of the world, real nature of oneself. When assimilation is done, Saha Muktaha Eva. Saha Muktaha Eva Bhavati. He is a liberated one already. How can Bhagavan say, as even you meditate in proper way, you are liberated? How can Bhagavan say? Because that is the fact that you are already liberated. In meditation, what do? You try to bring out that fact as a fact for your life. Therefore, one who has done the Vedanta Vichara and one who has assimilated those Vedantic teachings become Muktaha, already Muktaha. Bhagavan continues. Bhoktaram yajnatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suhrutam sarvabhutana nyatvamam shantim richati. So in the last two shlokas, preparation for meditation was told. The preparation is what? Sit with poise and with even breathing, calm breathing, rhythmic breathing. Then control your own sense organ and mind and allow your mind to unload all the internalized things, then concentrate on heart or bruho madhye, then meditate on the Vedantic teaching. What type of Vedantic teaching you have to meditate? Here Bhagavan says, when a person meditates on me, jnatva mam shanti mrichati. What type of mam? Bhoktaram yajna tapasam. If you meditate on me, or if you know me, the real nature, Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam. Bhagavan is the receiver of all the worship and austerities. All worship goes to the same Bhagavan in whatever name you offer to him. You offer to Allah or Christ in any form, Sarvadeva Namaskaraha Keshavam Prati Gacchati. Akashat Paditam Toyam Yatha Gacchati Sagaram Sarvadeva Namaskaraha Keshavam Prati Gacchati. That is why in our culture, you do namaskara to an elephant, it goes to Ganesha. You do namaskara to cow, it goes to Brahmaji or Saraswati. Everything goes for Bhagavan only. That knowledge we have, we don't have separation in our understanding that God is different from the creation. The creation represents the God. Through the creation, you can worship the Lord who is behind this creation. So, Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasa means one who receives all the worships and austerities. Then, Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. the one who is the lord of all devatas. Sarvaloka Maheshwara means all the creation is by Ishvara, and Sarvabhutanam Suhrutam, the one who is unconditional well-wisher. All local well-wishers are conditional well-wishers. Even parents are conditional well-wishers. What is the condition? I wish you for your welfare only if you are my child. The my child is the condition, correct? And there are some parents who say, only if you obey me, then I will wish for you. Adu parent illa. That is not a criterion to be called as parent. Understand? And there are some people, only if you marry the boy or girl whom I show, then only I will wish for. Otherwise, I will give shapa. Never get inside. Get out, like that they say. So, Bhagavan is one entity which wishes for our welfare. Sukhrut bhavaha means what? Shobhanam hrutayam yasya. Sukhrut means a friend. What is the definition for friend? Pratyupakaram anapekshya yaha upakarta saha sukhrutu. The one who is wishing for our welfare without expecting anything from us is called sukhrutu. And that Bhagavan is the most sukhrut. He is the Lord. The Lord is a friend in need. My acharya used to say, my Lord is a friend in need, and the Lord is friend indeed. He is in need, and indeed means what? He is the only friend possible. All other friends are namke vaste. Transact with them, but don't depend on them. Don't believe them completely. So, here the word Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, Sukhrutam, Sarvabhutanam, these are all having two meanings. If you are a Saguna Bhakta, you can meditate on Saguna Ishvara, but here Saguna Bhakta is not talked about. Here Vedantic student is talked about. Vedantic student means what? Who has gone through all the 5 chapters. Who has gone through the truth that Bhagavan cannot be away from me in reality. That is the truth. There is an objectification nature in our mind, in our thought process. Bhagavan means certainly I am not. That is the idea we have. Bhagavan means somebody other than me. Somebody other than me is the notion we have. Shastra repeatedly says, if anybody is Bhagavan, he cannot be different from you. Because anything different from you is limited. And limited entity will have death. Any dying entity cannot be Bhagavan. Simple logic. Anything is different from you is limited, because he is not including you. Mike is different from me, therefore Mike is different. My hands are not called Mike. So anything different from me is different entity, that is a limited entity. Any limited entity will have birth and death. So a dying entity cannot be God. If Bhagavan himself also is going to die, where is the question of getting him, attaining him? Why we want Bhagavan? Why we want Bhagavan? Because we are already bored with all dying entities. Anything we catch hold, it dies, it goes away. Dies means what? It goes away from us. Whether it is parent or people or situations or wealth or anything in our life, whatever we catch, it goes away. So we are bored. Vedantic students are bored with this. Catching and leaving, catching and leaving, catching and leaving. Pariksha lokan, karmachitan, brahmano, nirveda maya. Already boring has come. I want something which I should not catch, which should be always with me. Shastra says, it is you. What can be that entity which you cannot catch, you cannot lose? Heya upadeya vastu, it is called. Heya, heya means you cannot give up that entity. Upadeya means you cannot get that entity. What is that entity? It is you, and that is the nature of the Lord. So here Vedantic student should understand these words. That's why Shankaracharya nicely comments, though in first appearance it looks like Sarvabhutanam Ishwaraha means Ishwara is what? Namarupavastu. Bhagavan is nothing but Namarupavastu. Because Ishwaraha means one who rules. What he rules? There must be some creation to rule. And creation is what? Namarupa. So his Ishwaratva depends upon this Namarupa Vastu, which happened to be a temporary entity. So his Ishwaratva also will be temporary. A king can be called as king as long as kingdom is there. When kingdom is gone, where is the question of king? So therefore, these are all temporary attributes in apparent meaning, but acharyas have dwelt on things, then they comment in this way. Bhoktaram yajna tapasam cha kartru rupena devata rupena cha sarvaloka maheshwaram sarvesham lokanam mahantam isharam sarvaloka maheshwaram suhrutam sarvabhutanam sarvapraninam pratyupakara anapekshataya upakarinam sarvabhutanam hrutaye shayam sarvakarma phalatyaksham sarvapratyaya sakshinam mam narayanam. One sentence. Jnatva shantim prapnoti. By knowing your own real nature. What is that your own real nature? Here the word suhrut. Suhrut means, hrut means chaitanya. Suhrut means shuddha chaitanyam. First meaning of suhrut word is what? Friend. Now acharya's meaning is what? Suhrut means shuddha chaitanyam. Lord has to be meditated as shuddha chaitanyam. Aham, aham. Sarva bhutanam hrutaye shayam. Sarva karma phaladyaksham sarva pratyaya sakshinam. Those who meditate on me, who is the very self of the individual meditator, very chaitanyam of the adhishtanam of the all the thoughts, attain shanti. Shanti means here jivan mukti. So in this shloka, preparations for meditation and actual meditation and the result for meditation, all of them are given in three shlokas in nutshell. In the next chapter, Bhagavan will talk all these things in a very elaborate way. Entire chapter was dedicated for meditation process. Om Tat Sat Iti Srimad Bhagavad Gitasu Upanishatsu Brahma Vidyayam Yoga Shastre Shri Krishna Arjuna Samvade Karma Sanyasa Yogo Nama Panchamodhyayaha. With this, fifth chapter is over. So, time is there. We can go for summary of this chapter. Gita scripture is very, very systematic scripture. First chapter comes with a background that Arjuna had a doubt whether this war is going to be a dharmic one for me to do or not. He tried to solve his doubt, failed. Therefore, he surrendered to the Lord, asking for clarity with regard to dharma, with regard to proper understanding. So, Bhagavan understood that the problem of Arjuna is not lack of knowledge of dharma or adharma. He knows what is dharma and adharma. It is because of lack of vairagyam. Everybody knows what is right and wrong, but still people go for wrong things. Why? Why? Because lack of vairagyam. Attachment is there. Attachment to certain things make us to violate. Similarly, attachment towards the relatives made him to doubt about his swadharma. Therefore, Bhagavan started teaching nature of the individual. In the second chapter, he gave the nature of the individual as the conscious entity, not the body. No one can be attached to anyone because there is nothing called someone. No one can be attached to anyone because there is nothing called someone different from the individual. Every individual is complete, covers entire creation. The word I is equal to everything in the creation, including Rakshasa's body and mind. Who am I? I include Rakshasa's body and mind. But those things don't affect me because I am Shuddha Chaitanyam. Like space, space includes everything in the creation. Correct? But it is not polluted. There is no space pollution. Air pollution is there. Water pollution is there. And earth pollution is there. There is nothing called space pollution. Why? Because air is limited. Water also is limited entity. Earth also is limited entity. Space is unlimited, infinite. Similarly, consciousness doesn't have any problem. You cannot kill someone, nor someone can kill you. To know this knowledge, you should prepare your mind. Therefore, do karma yoga with the Ishwararpana Buddhi. And to do karma yoga, you should take to grahastha ashrama. Finally, you will get knowledge, and that knowledge is called real sannyasa. When Bhagavan told like that, immediately Arjuna got a doubt. whether sannyasa way of life is a necessity for gaining knowledge or not. With this question only, fifth chapter begins. He is confused about the word called sannyasa. Two types of meanings are there for word sannyasa, which we have dealt in the entire fifth chapter. One meaning is ashrama sannyasa, lifestyle sannyasa. Another meaning is knowledge. Second meaning is knowledge. First meaning is vividisha sannyasa, external sannyasa. It is a optional. A seeker can choose to be a sannyasi externally. He need not do marriage. He need not have any transaction with the world. But that is not the criterion to get knowledge. That will not guarantee moksha. Lifestyle itself doesn't guarantee moksha. And majority of the people are not qualified for this. For what? To stand alone without bank balance, without home, without knowing where you will eat next day. So majority of the people are not qualified for this. Therefore, Bhagavan told Arjuna, you are not qualified. Therefore, you have to live in household life only. Because in household life, there is a seeming security. You feel secured. It's not a security. You feel secured in the presence of your parent and family members. When danger comes, nobody is there to protect. Nobody can protect anyone. Even though everybody is around you, nobody can protect you. That's what in Mahabharata we find in Draupadi case. What is the Draupadi's condition? She was a queen. Queen of an empire. And her husbands are all powerful fellows. Five husbands, not one husband. Five husbands, all powerful fellows. One fellow even defeated Indra. That type of fellows, all are there in front of her. And family people, parents are there. Dhritarashtra, Gandhari were there. And Bhishmacharya was there, grandfather was there. And knowledgeable scholars who can be the ministers, who can rule the, who can guide the country, Dronacharya, Vidura, everybody was there. What happened? Everybody were there. Nobody could protect her honor. Only Bhagavan could protect. So that is the idea. You get a seeming idea of protection in family life. Like a child, when it has some mother's sari, some kerchief, something it will have. You can see that. In that kerchief of mother, will have that mother's smell. So the child thinks, if kerchief is there with me, mother isn't. You can see that. Or children who suck the thumb. What is the meaning? I am sucking mother, therefore I am with mother. It's a seeming protection, idea of protection. Similarly, we also thumb suckers only all the time. Only things differs, but we are all continue to be thumb suckers up to the life end. Unless this knowledge comes to our life, that I have to stand alone and I have come to this world to settle my accounts. And I have to struggle to settle my accounts. By settling my accounts, I will settle others' accounts also. Unless you settle your account, you become a troublesome person to the society. So, that is called sannyasa attitude. Everybody is not qualified for that. Therefore, Bhagavan told, prepare yourself. You need not opt for that. There is no condition. It is optional. And having told that, to stay in the grihastha ashrama, Bhagavan told, but you don't have option with regard to spiritual practices, stages. What are the main spiritual practice? Karma yoga and jnanam. Everybody has to go through karma yoga. Then everybody should gain knowledge. Nobody can bypass any of these two things. No option at all. But people talk about 4 yogas, 5 yogas, 24 yogas. Varieties of philosophies are there. Shastra never accept this. There is nothing called 4 yoga or 5 yoga. 4 stages, 5 stages you can tell. Because yoga means what? A path. In a travel, in a path, you will have varieties of stages. Bhagavan talks about stages. Shastra talks about stages in spiritual life. But it doesn't accept one yoga, one path completely different from another one. It doesn't accept. So for restless people, karma yoga. For emotional people, bhakti yoga. For intellectual people, jnana yoga. For good for nothing, raja yoga. That is the attitude in public mind. Shastra says you don't have any option. Everybody has to go through all the stages. Each process has one utility. Karma yoga makes you to understand that this world is temporary. How you will understand world is temporary? By marriage only. By married life only you will understand world is temporary. In family only you will understand things are not as we thought are. People are not as we thought are. How you will come across? In grahastha ashrama only. And grahastha ashrama is predominantly karma oriented lifestyle. So everybody should get that maturity by following karma yoga and then go for Vedanta Shravanam. So from shloka number 2 to shloka number 7, these two topics are dealt with. Bhagavan says, Sanyasas karma yogascha nishreyasakaravu bhau nyeyasa nitya sanyasi yo nadveshti na kankshati. One who doesn't have ragadvesha is sanyasi, he says. Not the person one who has sanyasa cloth is called sanyasi. One who doesn't have ragadvesha, likes and dislikes, is called real sanyasi. And in the 6th shloka he says, sanyasastu mahabaho dukkamatum ayogataha. For an immature person, sanyasa lifestyle will be very painful lifestyle. He will think, did I miss? Mind will think. Because he cannot fulfill his desires. His ashrama life will not allow to fulfill his desires. But at the same time, he is not able to come out of those clutches of desires. So he will have a mithyachari life. Therefore, Bhagavan asked Arjuna to lead a grahastha life with spiritual values. What are those? Yoga yukto vishuddhatma vijitatma jitendriyaha. Become a jitendriyaha. Vijitatma, Vishuddhatma, pure person. Then, 8th and 9th shloka talks about the nature of the self, what is the reality of the individual. Akarta, Abhokta, Atma. Naiva kinchit karometi yukto manyeta tattvavit pashyan shrinvan sprushan jikhran ashnan gachan swapan shvashan pralapan visrujan grinnan. Unmishan nimishan napi. In spite of engaging all activities, he will have an idea that naiva kinchit aham karomi. I don't do anything. I am akarta abhokta atma. Then from 10th to 12th shloka, karma yoga is talked about. The way of karma yoga lifestyle is talked about. Then 13th to 21st shloka, the benefit of jnanam. Why should I get this knowledge? Because I want to be free from all sorrow. I want to be free from insecurity, idea of insecurity is there. One small SMS enough to make you to feel insecure. And their poor people traveled what? Thousands of miles they traveled to be secured. Or what? One SMS made them to travel. And leaving all their homes and properties, just one small fake SMS, you know. That is the fate of so-called intelligent, educated society. So-called modern society is how much stable. It will not allow to think even a moment whether this SMS is a fake one or proper one. And where is the question of tackling that? Suppose if it is a real one, so you have to tackle yourself. You cannot run away. How many places you will run away? There also again some people will threaten. Will you go for Australia or what? Or you will go think yourself in ocean or what? Understand? So you have to handle the situation, and that is possible only when you have knowledge. If you have knowledge, no SMS can threaten you. No medical report can threaten you. No doctor can threaten you. No family members can threaten you. Family members threaten, I will go away. Go, what is there? Not now, he will tell afterwards. Understand? No life situation can threaten you if you have this knowledge. That is the beauty of knowledge. In this portion only, description of Vidvat Sannyasi, who have understood his own real nature, who have understood that I cannot be meddled upon. Nobody can meddle with me. Nobody can threat me. So, samsara karanam is what? Ajnanam. Nadatte kasya chit papam. Nachaiva sukrutam vibuhu ajnanena avrutam jnanam tena mukhyanti jantavaha. Bhagavan says jantus nene animals, like animals, people, human being also unfortunately are having fear, want to be secure, want to have sense pleasures. Ahara nidra bhaya maitunam cha samanyam etat pashubhir naranam buddhir hitesham adhiko visheshaha buddhir vihina pashubhis samana. Entire life goes in eating, drinking, sleeping, quarreling, enjoy. What is the difference? I have given a beautiful instrument called buddhi to know about their real nature. But not knowing that, people ajnanena avritam jnanam. Ajnana is the cause of all suffering. And Bhagavan gives how you can remove your ajnana and what is the benefit of gaining the knowledge, samadarshanam as the jnana phalam, jivan mukti as the jnana phalam, getting security as the jnana phalam. All these things we saw from 13th to 21st sloka. This is the main portion, Vidvat Sannyasi portion it is called. Then 22nd to 23rd sloka, Kama Krodha Varjanam. If anybody is interested in gaining this knowledge, what he has to do first? He has to get rid from the clutches of strong likes and dislikes. Never say it should happen. It should happen. It should not happen. Never say. It may happen if Bhagavan wishes. Bhagavan wishes means what? There is nothing called Bhagavan sitting somewhere else in chair wishing for you to have your own karma phala is the idea. Bhagavan wishes means your own karma phala accepts that. Then from 24th and 26th shloka, Jivan Mukti and Videga Mukti are given as the Jnana Phalam. Brahma Nirvanam Richati. Brahma Nirvanam means what? Oneness with Brahman. Oneness with Brahman means? Oneness with Brahman means what? Not an incident. It is knowing that I am already one with Brahman. Knowledge. The oneness with Brahman, whether you are with body or without body, you are already one with the Brahman. That is the idea. Then last three shlokas talks about meditation process by which this knowledge can be assimilated, made your own understanding. The phalam is Shanti. Since the chapter contains Vidvat Sannyasa, the meaning of the word Sannyasa is really nicely explained in this. What is the meaning of the word Sannyasa? Two meanings are there for that word. Vidvat Sannyasa, Vividisha Sannyasa. Vividisha Sannyasa means lifestyle of a monk. One who doesn't have any job, any duties, any responsibilities, any transactions and any money, any privileges, nothing yes. One who is dedicated completely for knowledge pursuit, one who spends his time, entire time, either in acquiring knowledge or sharing that knowledge. It's called Vividisha Sannyasi. It is an optional lifestyle. Everybody need not go through that. And it has its own problems and advantages. What is the problem? What is the problem? He doesn't know where he will stay, what he will eat, who will take care of him, he doesn't know. That is the problem. What is the advantage? He did not bother buttering anyone. Whole life we spend how? We butter our parents, we butter our spouse, we butter our children, and buttering attitude goes even to Lord also. Buttering, buttering, you know, buttering. I like that word. Amul butter. So whole life we spend buttering, buttering, buttering. Sannyasi is a person, need not butter. Even he won't butter Lord also. That is the strength of a sadhu who is matured enough for that, they can apt for this. Otherwise, others all should go for maturing process. What is that maturing process? Get married, Dirghayushman Bhava, lot of years you should live so that you will get chappal beating and broomstick beating. World will teach how you will know Anityam, Asukam, Lokam. How you will know that people cannot be dependent upon? Bhagavan alone is the entity to be dependent upon. Marry and depend on someone, and when that person deserts you, you will understand. Yes, yes. 20 years before that Swami told, don't go for the giant wheel. It is nice when the wheel goes up, you know. It is nice, initial period, it is nice. everything is nice. Then once the giant wheel comes down, what happens? You feel like vomiting, you know. Giddiness comes to me, stop, stop. That time it will not stop because it has to come down. Where it will stop? Akasha, it cannot stop, giant wheel. Similarly, life also has both positive and negatives. How you will know? By going through that life. That's why Grahastha Ashrama, also life also is called Ashrama. Ashrama is a place wherein spiritual practices are practiced, correct? So it is not a sinful act to marry, but with this attitude you marry, you will learn in every situation. Sonnaru, that time itself the Swami told, that time itself Bhagavan told, that time itself everything is told. I have not heard, now I should learn, at least in next Janma I should not go for this. Bhagavan has to be dependent upon. Bhagavan is the only entity to be dependent upon. Neither my bank balance, nor my relatives, nor even my own achievements in the form of education or whatever it is. And it is going to be a beautiful affair wherein you have both things. Both things. Both things what? Kara and sweet. Both will be there. But be prepared for that. It is a nice thing. You should go through that. Then you will get maturity. But in this lifestyle, there is a great advantage that your mind will not be diverted. You have responsibility. You cannot lead a mithyachari life. If a sannyasi who has lot of desires, but at the same time who is not able to enjoy the world, has to lead a mithyachari life, hypocrite life, that hypocrisy will not be there in your life. So that is the advantage. Both lifestyle have advantages and disadvantages. So go through them, get maturity, gain control over your own sense organ and mind, approach a sadhu or a teacher who can teach you about your real nature. A sadhu, you want to know someone as sadhu, this is the criteria. A sadhu will never accept you as a sinner. A sadhu will never accept you as a given up case. He will never say that you are in bondage. He will say you are Amritasya Putra. You are beautiful, wonderful entity. Without knowing that you are suffering, try to know this. He will always struggle to make you to see what he sees as a truth. You will never accept your weaknesses as the reality. Even though you say, you don't know Swami, he will say, I know you in reality. So he will never accept you, or he will never judge you based on your behaviors, your color, skin color, your age or size of the purse, nothing. He will judge you based on your own real nature. Have that type of satsanga repeatedly, same thing only, last 100 hours I am telling. Only same thing, 1 hour teaching only it is. 100 hours we are talking. 101st hour, this is Gita. Repeatedly what? You are beautiful. You are embodiment of security, peace and happiness. You don't need anything. Unless you are convinced, up to that time the Swami will tell. Either you have to get away from that Swami or you have to gain this knowledge. There are only two ways. So, get satsanga, gain this knowledge, be happy. This is the teaching of 5th chapter. 6th chapter, we will see in the next class. कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय हरये परमात्मने प्रणद क्लेशनाशाय गोविंदाय नमो नमः.